Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Coffee Clatch. The Coffee Clatch and Special Needs Talk Radio Network feature outstanding programming for the special needs community. Our team of hosts provide educational interviews. Our shows are not designed to provide listeners with specific or personal medical, legal, or professional service or advice. Parents of children with health issues should always consult their health care provider for medical advice, medications, or treatment. Any show discussing rights and law for special needs children and special education are presented as general information and not legal advice. Special Needs Coffee Clatch Limited does not promote any host or guest individual practice, programs, treatments, or products. We thank you for joining us and are proud to provide excellence in broadcasting for the special needs community. And now, on to the interview.
Good evening and welcome to the Ask Stephanie Show on the Coffee Clatch Network. If you're a parent with a newly diagnosed child with autism, how can you help your child who's just been diagnosed with autism? The online training course. Discovering behavioral intervention is the answer. Real parents take you through applied behavior analysis in 10 step-by-step modules. Learn more at udiscovering.org. We're proud to have the Mayor Johnson, your special education super source, sponsoring tonight's show. The Mayor Johnson sale is on. Enjoy drastic savings on hundreds of products at mayor-johnson.com. That's mayor-johnson.com. Visit them today. Tonight, we have an awesome guest with us. Dr. Edward Kulich is a board-certified concierge pediatrician who is available to his patients 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the comforts of their own homes. Dr. Kulich is the current president of the American Academy of Concierge Pediatricians. Welcome, Dr. Kulich. We thank you for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So this is a really unique service, and it's so valuable to so many families. So I've been coming up with a lot of questions, and I want to jump right in with it. I mean, what is so different about an in-home visit, versus a typical office visit?
Well, a typical office visit is—it's just that it's a very common pediatric, that's just what everybody's used to. You go into an office, you sign in with a receptionist, you wait for the nurse to call you back, the medical assistant comes, takes the vitals, the height, the weight, then the doctor comes in for 5, 10, sometimes 15 minutes, and then you're gone. It usually takes, the whole ordeal can take anywhere from, an hour to, depending on how busy the office is, and it's just kind of I used to have an office for a practice, so it's kind of more assembly line medicine. You have to see a certain number of patients a day, an hour. So it's more of a structured, rushed encounter where you have limited time to address all the issues that one would want to address in either a sick visit or a well visit. There's always a time constraint. Now, with an in-home visit with a practice such as mine, there's no rush, there's no hurry. I come to the home, it's just me. There's no one taking the information separately from me. There's no one taking the height and weight, and it's not a rushed environment. You're not in a different environment. You're in your living room, your bedroom. So it's not as stressful of an experience, and it takes anywhere from 30 minutes to 60 minutes, sometimes longer, depending on the problem. So it's just an easier way to go.
Yeah, I have three kids, and the reason why I wanted to do this interview was because I would say that my kids are probably one of many who hate going to the doctor. No offense to my pediatrician, but they're scared. They think blood tests, shots, and it just happens to be that this week, it's the camp appointment, so it's getting all the their checkups in. It was just their birthdays. And so I said, this was such perfect getting everything, the perfect timing for me, because I knew that we were interviewing, and I'm watching my son, who is turning 7, work himself up to go to this appointment because he didn't know if he was going to get a shot, and he's nervous to go into the office. And do you think there's just like a negative connotation to a doctor's office because of shots, or do you think, what do you think?
I mean, it could be both. I mean, that's the place where you go where you're sick, so there's obviously some negative associations with every time I feel bad, I end up there. And when I feel bad, I end up there, usually worse stuff happens to me because then I get shots and I get blood tests. And
yeah, that makes
that.
A lot of
or
sense.
When I feel good, I'm brought there anyway and I get shots and blood tests. So there's definitely a negative association with going to the doctor, especially for little kids. I mean, they don't know that the injection that they get is going to protect them from whooping cough. They just know that someone's holding them down and giving them a shot, and they don't like it. And with their limited verbal skills in the early ages, they can't really say, I'm really not a fan of this. They just cry. So it's not a great experience, especially for the toddlers that really know what's going on and preschool kids that really know what's going on, but they really don't want it to happen, and then they start screaming, and then they work themselves up.
Or they hear other kids in the other rooms crying,
yeah,
so that makes
absolutely.
Them nervous, too. So I know that you're a in-home doctor, and you're a concierge pediatrician, but for people who are listening, what can you just describe exactly what is concierge medicine? Because I hear more and more people talking about it, and it's not just for pediatricians. There are adult concierge doctors as well. But explain a little what it is as a service. I don't think people really know that much about it.
Right. It's relatively new, and not a lot of people know about it. Concierge medicine, it's also called boutique medicine or direct pay medicine. It's essentially any kind of medical service that provides extra on top of the usual run-of-the-mill service that you get at your regular doctor's office. Some doctors will promise their patients to only schedule 2 to 3 patients an hour as opposed to the 6 or 7 that they usually schedule. Some doctors will do in-home visits, such as me. Some doctors will provide 24/7 cell phone access. Some will do kind of an enhanced like guaranteed same-day appointment office practice, where they'll offer house calls in addition to an office practice, and some will do all house calls, such as myself. So not all concierge pediatricians accept insurance. Some don't accept any. I'm one of them. Some do a hybrid model where they accept insurance, but there's kind of an access fee where you pay a little extra, and then you get, access to the doctor that you wouldn't otherwise get in a standard practice. You know, if you're going to a group practice with, 3-4 doctors, and you have a problem after hours, and you call the doctor's number, you get the answering service, and they said they're going to page the doctor on call, and then, half an hour later, some stranger calls you back and they say, well, I don't know your kid. I know Dr. So-and-so prescribed this. I wouldn't do that, but I didn't examine your child, so I don't know. So maybe you should go to the emergency room or call him tomorrow morning. It's a very kind of a disjointed system in that regard. So
going back to the basics, because I mean, like people, that's how, in the olden days, I mean, the doctor came to your house and it worked for people. I mean, I'm surprised
absolutely.
That
it works
that,
for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised.
I
and
I
hope
have a receptionist.
Right. You answer your phone.
I have my cell phone. They call me. They get me. There's a problem. We'll deal with it. The pharmacy doesn't have this medicine. They have this. They need to know if they could change it. Sure, just give me a call. I'll take care of it. The rash looks different now. Well, take a picture of it. Send it to me. Let me take a look.
Do you bring medicine with you to the appointment?
I do.
Okay.
I bring, standard.
So it's like that instant gratification.
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm curious, what is your population of kids that makes up most of the practice? Is it mostly affluent families, or is it like special needs children? Is it, but what kind of kids come to you, or
it's
do you go to them, I should say?
I go to them. It's all of the above. I have special needs kids. I have non-special needs kids. I have affluent families. I have families that aren't affluent that choose to use my services because they value the service that I provide. I'm certainly not out of reach out of your average family's budget. Some people pay a little more money to lease a luxury car or to send their kid to private school.
Absolutely.
And some people choose to spend a little more money to get, you know, better care, or maybe not better care, more comfortable care. And in some instances, better care, because if you have a, let's say you have a special needs child that refuses to be examined in an office setting, it's better care because you can get a better exam at home. So
yeah,
it's
a more comprehensive exam with a child.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
More comfortable in their own environment. It makes a lot of 100%. Sense. So, okay, I'm curious. Do you think that a child with anxiety responds, you have your own private practice, do you think they respond better to seeing you in their own home versus an office? Because you've done it both ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had patients when I saw kids in the office, I had autistic patients, you know, high anxiety patients that I couldn't examine. They were just screaming and screaming and screaming, and they just wouldn't calm down. I couldn't examine them, especially not in the time constraints of, you know, a 10-15 minute visit. When a child is in a strange room and they're being examined by a stranger after a different stranger had, you know, confronted them for their height and weight, it's difficult. So it's hard to calm them down. But when they're in their house, and they're watching their favorite show on their couch in their chair with the same episode that they always watch in the same comfort of their own home next to their mom on their mom's lap, it's not as intrusive and it's not as much of a change. And they're more comfortable and it's much more conducive to a more thorough exam.
Right. I mean, you feel that you're able to make a more accurate diagnosis based on the kid is more calm, the parent is more calm because they're 50% there also, and you're able to probably, do you feel like you're able to focus more and just
not just that, but I mean the kid's in their own element, and you can see developmental signs that you might not be able to pick up when they're screaming in an office for 5 minutes, and that's your only interaction with them. If they're calm and you see them and you're talking with the mom and they're in their playroom that they're usually in, stacking the blocks that they usually stack, you can get a lot more information. I had a patient, she's a teenager, and she hadn't been to the doctor in 3 years because she had a phobia. She's autistic.
Yep.
And she just wouldn't go to the doctor. And she had gotten to big enough to the point where she could inflict injury on the mom if she tried to take her into an office. And they had been tried a couple of different times. It just wouldn't work. And it was just not feasible for her to be seen in an office. It was so disruptive to the office that she just couldn't go. So this was the first, you know, the mom said this is a godsend. I'm actually able to get her seen for a sinus infection because
right.
I couldn't do it for the last like 2-3 years, and she had to suffer for weeks until she got over it on her own, or where it got so bad that I ended up having to take her to the hospital. So there's certain instances where it's really like the only way a child can be seen. I mean, those are extreme examples, obviously.
No, but you know what? I just was working with a mom this week who the child was having such severe panic, they could literally not get the child in the car, and also had to go, like, should they call an ambulance? The child was absolutely out of control, and they had to go to a doctor. And I mean, it wasn't for a sinus infection, but it was the child was very ill, and it's very hard for parents, and that's why I think a service like this, like you said, I mean, some people lease a more expensive car or want more expensive shoes, but like for something like this, it's sometimes such a necessity for parents that they just simply want their child to be seen for an ear infection, and
right.
You being able to get that kind of service in your home makes a lot of sense for them.
Absolutely, and that's not even accounting for insurance reimbursement. I mean, if you have out-of-network benefits, you know, my services are actually reimbursable. So I have a lot of parents that get back some, you know, or even up to all of the costs that they pay me up front. So
right. It
actually works out for them. I mean, it's not out of reach for most people. It's a cell phone bill. It's not unreasonable. I mean, there's... I'm not, you know, completely unattainable.
I was telling my son today. He saw I was doing some research, and I was telling him about you, and he said, "Well, explain it to me." And I said, "But actually, that's a great question. Where do you do your checkups? I mean, where are kids most comfortable? You come in," and he had a really good question. He said, "I mean, if he was my doctor," which now, of course, he wants you to be, would he, you're going to have to make your visit to our house one day. He said, I'd want to show him my room. I'd want to show him my stuff. And do kids do that for you?
Yeah. Some do, some don't. Some are a little apprehensive, so, you know, the checkup takes place. Probably about 80% take place on the living room couch in front of the, you
okay.
know, either the TV or next to their toys. Some kids want to, you know, show me their room. And, you know, it's really cute. It's nice. I also make balloon animals, so, you know, that really kind of puts them at ease.
You're so multi-talented.
I only know how to make the dog, but, you know,
So do you think continue what you were saying.
Yeah, so I mean, most of the time it just takes place, you know, in a comfortable setting, whatever, it depends on the kid because
where they want.
Different. So, exactly.
Okay, so you don't need to be like laying on a table to get
No, not at all.
Okay, so I'm just curious on the opposite end of the spectrum because, you know, just in playing devil's advocate here, do you think that parents could be feeding into their child's anxiety by having a pediatrician come to their home instead of encouraging them to face their fears and actually go to the pediatrician's office? Because parents could be said, you know, there could be something to say for the fact that, you know what, honey, it's part of life. We go to the doctor. This is just something you need to deal with. And are we spoon feeding them by bringing you to their house because they can't hack it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. There's very few things in a child's life that as stressful as being held down and having blood drawn, giving shots, getting checked when they're sick and they're cranky, and they're at their most vulnerable. If you had a child that was afraid of riding in a car, but they had to go to work, they had to go to school, and they had to be taken to school, you're not going to have them walk 5 miles to school. You're going to put them in the car and drive them. I wouldn't put them on a racetrack or on the back of a motorcycle, but you would put them in the car. So it would be, if you have a choice of decreasing the level of anxiety due to, you know, a very heightened anxiety situation, I don't think it's a bad idea to do it. I don't think you're feeding into it. I think if you don't let that child go to school because they don't want to ride in a car, I think that's feeding into anxiety. But whether or not that you're – I don't think you're making it worse by providing a slightly more streamlined approach to getting their care delivered. And it's not just the child's anxiety. It's also the parent's anxiety. And it's the parent's
Absolutely.
Time as well. How much time does it take for you to put the kids in the car, take them to the doctor, wait, you know, take the kids home, get a snack afterwards on the way home. They're always cranky because they're sick. Then you have to go to the pharmacy to pick up them. You know, it's such a big production. And this is all when a child is sick. So your child is miserable in the back seat. So it even adds to that. So it's just an entire miserable experience.
I mean, basically after that whole description, every parent right now is like, when can you come over? Because it is the worst feeling when your kid is crying and they have that ear infection and the fever or the flu. And like you just said, the hassle of having to go and do that. It's like for parents, like something's more of a luxury for the parent than the child, honestly.
Right. And not only that, I have a significant number of patients that started using my service because the kid went for a well check and the kid got sick in the waiting room, and they're back 3 days later.
Oh,
because you pick up a new bug. I mean, if you're going to a place where
I hate it, I know.
Time,
oh, it's the worst. You don't want them touching everything, the books, the toys. I used to stress out when my kids were little for that very reason. You're right. It's like they pick
it's
up the next
gonna,
thing.
They're going to pick something
five
up.
Kids
I mean,
waiting.
Some offices have well waiting rooms and sick waiting rooms, but there's one handle that goes into the office. And
right, but some kids
it,
like hacking up
else.
A lung, I know, next to
right.
me, and I'm like, oh, you're getting that next week. Right.
Right.
That's
exactly.
a very good point, actually. I'm curious also, do you find it hard to get down to business in an in-home setting? Do you think you're taken less seriously by the child? They're fussing around a little bit more, and you're not like looked at as a doctor.
By the child. I want them to be as comfortable as possible. So, you know, there's that whole term, the white coat phobia. So I don't wear a white coat. I don't even wear a tie.
I was going to ask you, what do you wear? No white coat.
I wear a button-down shirt and some slacks, and you
right.
know, I look like your average Joe on the street walking around. So it's not, once the stethoscope comes out, they kind of figure out that I'm a doctor, but it's definitely, it's not that you don't have all those associations associated, you know, with the stressful doctor visit for the child. So, I think it's better for them to take me a little less seriously
mm-hmm.
in terms of my association with my interaction with the parents. I mean, there's obviously, you know, the usual chit-chat, because I see these people all the time, and I see them in their environment, so they don't just see me as a doctor, they see me as, you know, a part of their family or friends, so, you know, we chat about, you know, usual things, that, you know, but when it's time, you know, to get down to business and talk about the problem, you know, I'm always, you know, all business. It's, you know, we need to figure out what's wrong, but it's a more relaxed atmosphere. It's not as rigid. You know, I can play around with a kid and talk to them and make them a balloon animal, and it puts them more at ease. So, you know, the answer to your question is I really hope they take me, or the child takes me, a little less seriously. The parents,
that's
you know, they
interesting. No, that's a good way to look at it. So, okay, you're one person. You have this, like, magical practice, and a concierge medicine sounds like the most amazing thing, but you're still one person, and it sounds like you really take your time with the family, and I'm sure you have to travel to all your appointments that you're going to. So
right.
how difficult is it to actually get an appointment with you? Because I assume that parents are using you because they want the instant gratification, and they're like, I need you here now. So how does it work?
Right. I mean, it depends on the degree of the problem. I don't have that many patients. When I was in private practice, I was juggling 2,000-3,000 families a year. And
right.
now I juggle 120, 130. I'm capping my practice at 200. So once
right.
I have 200 families, I'm not going to take on any more, because it's not mm-hmm. fair to everyone else that sees me. But I only have that number, so I can provide the same kind of personalized care. I mean, if I have 150 families, the likelihood of every single kid getting strep
right.
throat during the same day is pretty low. So I'll see somewhere between 3 to 10. I think my record was, I think, 12.
You had a Superman cape on
that
day.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, most of my visits are within a certain geographical radius, so it's not, you know, I mean, I do have some of my usual patients that have moved out to the burbs that I still accommodate, but they all know that, you know, since they're out, you know, in neighboring parts of New Jersey or Westchester, that I, my availability
might take you a few
is... Exactly.
Right. So, let's say, like, I have my regular pediatrician, and I use them for my well visit, my once-a-year well visit. Can I still use you as my sick visit doctor?
Yeah. I have a lot of patients that do that. I think probably about maybe 30-40% of my patients do that, where they want to keep
the regular
doctor.
Is that typical in, like, a concierge medicine, where, like, you know, like, it's more that for the well visit, all right, I can go to the doctor's office, but you know what? When my kid's sick, this makes sense, and I'm willing and want to spend the money for the doctor to come to us because my kid could barely lift their head off the pillow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you do have patients.
I have a lot of patients that do that. Well, you know, they've had the same doctor for years. You know, they could have several different kids, and they've been using the same doctor for all of them, and they love them. But you know, it's just more convenient, and it's just, you know, there's certain situations where it's just not feasible for them to, you know, see that doctor in a timely manner, or you know, the kid is too sick to travel, so then they call me. So I do have patients that use me kind of as a supplement to their regular doctor.
And I would assume, I mean, I know we go on vacation a lot. We're always visiting my parents in Florida. My kids are always sick. We need you, by the way, in Boca. They need a Dr. Coolidge in Boca. There's, whether
I'm
kids get sick from
the plane.
That's something you need to put on the list. Kids go on vacations. They always get sick. I would assume that it would be great for families to know about a service that when they were away, that they were able to have a doctor, whether it's go to a hotel or be on vacation and know that it's not their doctor, but it's someone that could provide this kind of service for them.
Oh, absolutely. I have a lot of patients that actually call me when they're in the city and they're on vacation and they're stuck and they really need help.
Or a family member, you know, or something like that.
Exactly. And I have friends around the country that do this kind of thing. Some have practices just like mine. Some just kind of do it as a supplement to their regular practice. Sometimes I have to twist an old friend's arm to see one of my patients. But I have actually a pretty large network. So, you know, if you're in San Francisco or Denver or
that was what I was going
know,
to
Tampa,
ask.
Absolutely. I have a couple of friends that will accommodate. So it's not uncommon for my patients to call me when they're on vacation and just ask me a question. I said, look, you know, we're in Miami and there's this rash and I don't know what to do. And they'll send me a picture of it. And
do you video chat patients?
I do. If they want me, like I have a kid who just the other day I had a child who was in a bad asthma attack, and I saw him earlier that day. And the mom calls me. She says, "Look, he's getting a little worse." And I said, "Well, let me send me a video or let's do FaceTime." And you know, she showed me how he was breathing, and it just wasn't great. So you know, we elected to send him over to the hospital, and that's the there's times.
I mean,
where,
to me, that's the cutting edge of today. I mean, that's like the fact that families, they should be using that. Doctors should. There's even like a new app, like Ping MD. I don't know if you know about it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But I mean, where doctors today are, I mean, you're having to come around a little bit with social media and use it in a positive way to FaceTime a kid or to a parent to if they're away or whatever. It's really it really can be used in a really wonderful way. Like for instance, what you just said.
And,
like a picture of a rash or something like that where you're able to say you're able to see it in 2 seconds.
It saved the patient the visit. And sometimes if a parent calls me the particular complaint and because not every complaint warrants a house call. Sometimes it's just a minor thing that, you know, doesn't need a visit, just needs a little bit of a look on a picture and some reassurance. Sometimes it's something so severe that it's not appropriate for the patient to wait an hour or two or three for me to come, in which case I have to, direct them to go. This is also why I don't use an answering service. I handle all my calls directly so that if somebody calls me, I don't have a receptionist making an appointment for a house call the next day when something needs to go to the emergency room.
Right.
So it saves the patient's time. And, you know, the last thing I want to do is to delay treatment or, you know, to waste someone's time or their money for something that didn't need to be seen or needed to be seen in a different manner.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about families with special needs because, kids with special needs have daily challenges. And I'm just curious how you find or how those families would say that your service can be especially beneficial to their family. Like, what have they said to you?
They've said, I mentioned it before, there's autistic kids that can't get to the doctor that are,
yeah.
I even have some families where the kid is, 22, 23, no longer a kid.
Right.
But, you know, they can't, make that transition yet. It's very difficult for them. They keep, you know, they can't get the routine blood work done because the child is bigger than the parents, and the parents can't physically take them. And there's the children that I remember. I had one autistic child. He had this awful ear infection, and he was actually sleeping. And I checked, and it was resistant, and you know he needed an injection. The kid didn't get off the couch, didn't even wake up. He was just sleeping. Mm-hmm. He got the injection, and it was better the next day.
Wow.
So it's just there.
Or I would even assume that a kid with OCD. I mean, I meet with families whose kids have OCD, ADHD, and I mean, sometimes I talk to a mom, and I know you know this, but I mean, she'll say, it could take my daughter 2 hours to shower, or just the timing alone of getting in and out of the house because of all their compulsions and their obsessions, it could be an entire process just for one day to go to a checkup for one thing, where I would assume that for a family like that, that having you come to them could probably save them like an entire day.
Right, absolutely. Anxiety, can certainly, especially of that magnitude, can really lengthen, the whole process. It's a whole ordeal. It's not just, what should be just a quick, 20-30 minute assessment. From start to finish takes, 7 hours, 8 hours, for the whole getting in the car, getting out of the house, that sort of thing, getting dressed. It's just, it's so difficult for some of these families that, I really find that this service is, those are the people that I think benefit the most from my service. I mean, everyone benefits from having an easier time and not having to schlep three kids, four kids to the doctor, especially if three of them are fine and one of them is sick, but you have no sitter, so all of them have to go, and then you're going to be back the next week, with all of them being sick.
They're all sick now.
I mean, it's a convenience thing, and I get it, and it's helpful, and it's also good to have a child be comfortable when they're sick. I'm so happy to provide this kind of service. But I mean, those families where they don't have any other option, where it's such an ordeal to get the child to the doctor. And when the child is at the doctor, it's the most unproductive doctor visit you can possibly imagine, because they're not cooperative. They're not communicative. They won't let the doctor examine them, and you can't really get anywhere. So that, in addition, will just heighten the anxiety and just make it, a 7-8 hour unproductive ordeal, as opposed to a quick and easy 30-40 minute visit, which will actually decrease the child's anxiety about the doctor, because they can have a positive association for once with a medical interaction, as opposed to if every single time you go to the doctor it's a worse and worse experience, you're it's going to snowball, it's going to get even worse. So it's nice to kind of break that cycle.
Right. I mean, I would imagine that and it was just last week that we were there getting our blood tests. I would imagine that if my son was sitting on the couch and he was watching his favorite show or he had his iPad, I mean, you could still have that at a doctor's office, but like there's a certain smell. There's just something, where like
exactly.
You're in your home and you have your blankie and you're just hanging out, but like there's just probably something much more relaxing about it.
Absolutely.
Do you think that this is just going to become more widely available? Are there other youths out there? Are there other people in other states that I know that?
Absolutely.
Actually,
I have an organization that's called the American Academy of Concierge Pediatricians, AACPEDS.com, and it's a list of board certified pediatricians that do this kind of thing in different locations. So I kind of put it together to kind of help facilitate people that need this kind of service. So I mean, I've had people call my friend in Atlanta, and because they found his website. And they say, hey, we're in New York and we're looking for a house call doctor, and we found your website. And he says, well, it's a little far from me because I'm in Atlanta, but I have a friend of mine. He's in New York. So we have kind of that network. So, and my patients, if they need to get seen and they're in Denver or they're in San Francisco or in Florida or, you know, there's a bunch of other
That's fantastic.
So do I think it's going to be the future of medicine with house calls? I honestly don't. I don't see that house calls will fix the entire healthcare system, and that's a whole other discussion. But I do think it's an important niche that has to be explored a little more. Do I think the concierge kind of direct care? I don't like to use the word concierge as much as the direct care. Do I think direct care medicine has potential to improve healthcare? Absolutely. I think if you kind of, I'm not going to get into the whole healthcare discussion, but I think if you have people dealing more directly with their providers, their primary care providers, I'm not talking specialists and surgeons,
right.
I'm talking your internal medicine doc, your family practice, your pediatrician, that there's just going to be a lot less hassle because people see their primary care docs the most, and that's where the most of the problems in the healthcare system are, is that, you know, you have these internists and these pediatricians that have to see, and when I was in an office, I would see 40 to 50 kids a day in 8 hours. So do the math. How much time do I spend with each patient? How good, you know, how can I provide
quality time,
care?
Not
you
very,
know,
very much.
If I could see 20 as opposed to 40, I could spend twice as much time with each patient, but, you know, with the way the healthcare system's set up, I'm not going to be able to help too many people once my office goes under. So, unfortunately, it was a hamster wheel. So, I'm glad I got off the hamster wheel and I practice the way I practice. Is it for everybody? No, certainly not, because I work 24/7, and that's just. You know,
you're a father.
You know,
you have young children. It's not easy.
I have two kids. It's certainly not easy. And you know, there's times where I miss my son's karate tournament because I had to deal with a kid in the hospital. So it's just, you know, there's, you know, as in every profession, there's
as
you
right
know,
and as in really, I mean, doctor, surgeon, that happens. That's sort of just part of the job, as you know. But I do think that parents having that personal relationship, even like parents who are trying to get a diagnosis for their child, whether it's like an OCD or an ADHD, and turning to the pediatrician, I find that people often feel like, oh, my pediatrician doesn't really know my kid. You know, they always use the word, they feel rushed. Look, it's not in all cases. Some pediatricians have smaller practices, but if you have a practice with 6-7 doctors, maybe you'll only get the doctor that you like is in, not on the day, or they're busy, or the time, or there's a wait for that doctor. Where, like, if you really need an accurate diagnosis, having a relationship with your pediatrician is so important. And I mean, you know that my son was diagnosed with PANDAS when he was a young, you know, when he was in second grade. And my pediatrician just totally did probably, you know, blew us off, didn't have the relationship that you're saying, and definitely didn't have the time for us, and was busy because there was a waiting room of 20 people. And had I had the pediatrician spend more time with us, he probably would have picked it up. And I think that's really important for parents.
I've made diagnoses that other practices had not made. And I was kind of the last stop on the train because I had more time to spend with them. In the last year, I've made two diagnoses of scurvy. One was missed by, you know, a GI specialist because I did such a detailed diet assessment in the patient's house that, you know, it was obvious the child wasn't getting any vitamin C. I remember there was one, I was in a hotel room, and there was a kid with a cough, a runny nose, and it was a cold. And I see a bottle of honey next to the bedstand. And I said, you're not giving the baby honey, are you? And they said, no, we just bought it. We're about to give it. If I hadn't been there, they might have given, infants shouldn't get honey because they can get botulism, but they didn't know this. So if I hadn't seen that bottle of honey by the bedside, which I wouldn't have seen if I had been in an office, then they might have, the kid might have had botulism. So there's certain things, clues, and you have to do a detailed history if you're in an office, obviously. As a doctor, you have to do a detailed history. But there's so many things that I can glean just by standing there in the child's playroom or in the room where I can say, you know, you really need to take that crib bumper out because it's a hazard, or, you know, you really should baby-proof this. And, you know, because there's so many things you have to address, but it's impossible with the time constraints of a regular visit. So I'm able to see.
Or even just picking up on siblings that are in the house and seeing other behaviors or other things that are going on within the environment that maybe a parent isn't reporting, and
absolutely
seeing it as on a whole is probably very different.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I'm so happy that everyone knows about you tonight, because I think it is a unique service, and I hope that more, it is, I don't know that, I agree with you, I don't know that it's the wave of the future, but I do think that parents sometimes
need a lot more doctors to make it.
Yeah, and I think that parents also just need to open their minds a little to different, unique things, and just hearing about new services that they don't know exist. I think parents are always looking for things like that. I'm sure that all of our listeners are very grateful to hear that services like yours, and they exist everywhere. And I'm so glad that you were able to share that. Can you just share that website for us again?
Sure.
Where they can.
AACPEDS, P-E-D-S, AACPEDS.com.
Great. I hope that we opened some minds tonight, because thinking outside the box for children who need more specialized care is really very important. And as parents, we all want our kids to be as comfortable as possible when they're seeing a doctor. And I think after hearing about all the wonderful ways that a doctor can learn so much more about a child, seeing them in the comforts of their own home, I mean, I'm convinced that my kids might need Dr. Coolidge to come for their next
sure,
visit. I'm
sure.
Glad
give
I
me
have
phone.
Your number.
My cell phone's on the website.
Okay, good. Can you give your website so people can have it?
Yeah, it's kidshousecalls.com.
Kidshousecalls.com. It's Dr. Coolidge, and I know
with
he has a Facebook page, K-U-L-I-C-H. He has Facebook, he has Twitter, and he FaceTimes his patients if they need to. It's really awesome. definitely something that I think parents would really, really love to know about. So I thank you so much for being here. If anyone wants more information on tonight's episode, they can visit my website, www.askastephanie.com, or The Coffee Klatch, www.thecoffeeklatchnetwork.com. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for being here tonight. You were wonderful.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm convinced that boutique medicine, direct home care, whatever you want to call it, is definitely awesome. I'm a mom of three, and I think it's awesome. So thank you so much for being here tonight.
Wonderful. All right. Have a great night. Thank you so
Good
much
night.
For having me.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.